Welcome to Sip the Tea, the podcast where we dive into the digital lives of our tweens and teens. I'm Rochelle Best, a mom, a tech enthusiast, and your guide through this uncharted territory of our kids' online experiences. You may be wondering what's up with the name. Sip the Tea is teenage slang for sharing the latest scoops, spilling the beans, and opening up about what's really going on. So grab your headphones and join me on this eye-opening journey about what's really going on behind those screens.
I've seen someone die on Discord, live in front of my eyes. My best friend committed suicide in front of my eyes. That was rough. I was 13 at the time, so that was hard.
It's called Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. I was like 9. And yeah, they show some extremely, extremely disturbing stuff, like realistic hearts and people being cut open and eaten, like out of cans. It's honestly terrifying.
Okay, so this episode is going to be quite a heavy one because we're talking about upsetting content and the worst things that kids have been exposed to. And I shudder to think, Rochelle, what some of these children must have told you in the course of your interviews.
Yeah, I think when I started recording, even when I started scripting the interview guides, I knew that we were going to get some real stories around pornography. I knew we were going to get some real stories around cyberbullying. Mm. But I didn't realize the full extent of upsetting content that our children stumbled across. I mean, every single person I've spoken to, when I ask them the question, I almost have to prepare myself to ask the question, what's the worst thing you've seen online? And every single story, I would have to compose myself consciously to not respond in a way that may be inappropriate. The amount of upsetting content out there is unbelievable. And we talked about algorithms earlier on. And the more children see, the more they consume, the more their feeds become filled with these things. Yeah. We spoke about a lot of different social media platforms. I thought the one we would get the most upsetting content on, I thought, TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. Yeah. And although we've seen some of it come through on TikTok, a lot of it is on Discord. And a lot of it is being shared, the typical shared in the school bus or shared via link that's sent around. And again, it's because, you know, our children are seeing things and they think, oh, this upsets me so much. And you just forward it on to so many other children. Now, one of the boys actually said to me, he saw something and we'll hear his voice. He saw a car accident and he mentioned that it was the worst thing he's ever seen.
There was a accident that happened on the road somewhere in Cape Town. And so the car itself was bent in and wrapped around a tree. And then the body inside was just absolutely desecrated.
I had one of my friends, he sent me a link to something on Twitter. And it was a person, literally, it got crushed by a truck. And I was grossed out. The moment I saw it, I clicked off it and I almost vomited. So it was one of those gruesome videos that went around and I was just like, okay, I'm grossed out by that.
And it was that bad that he messaged that person back and said, hey, dude, do not ever share this type of stuff with me again.
Good for him.
And for a teenage boy to say something like that, you know, it must have hit hard.
Yeah. But many kids aren't as brave or aren't in a position to say to their friends, please don't send me this, it's upsetting me.
And many of them don't receive it from their friends. So an example of one of the boys, he was in a Discord server. His settings weren't set up that people can't send him messages that's not part of his server. And he got sent a link of a 2-minute video clip, which obviously he clicked on because children are curious. Yeah. We have to realize that if you send them a link, they're going to click on it.
I think the worst one I've probably seen was a link that someone sent me. I clicked on it and it sent me to a 2-minute video of people committing suicide. It was terrible. It was terrible for 12-year-old me. So obviously Discord's got its flaws and its downsides, which this was one of them. I clicked on the link and I saw a 2-minute video of people committing suicide. I cried a lot. It was terrible. For me to see it was one of the worst experiences I've ever had online. Don't really think about it. It's just the fact that this image is still in my mind It's like horror, basically. Once you watch a horror movie, you like can't sleep at night. That image is replaying in your head. It was a random person that I've never spoken to in my life. The thing with Discord is that you can check mutual friendships and mutual communities that they've joined. They were in a mutual community that didn't have any mutual friends of mine. So none of my friends that I had on Discord were friends with him. But he was in one of the same servers or communities that I joined.
So he was exposed to a two-minute video of one person after the other committing suicide. And in the most horrendous way. So this child couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep for ages after that.
Sure. Teenagers seem to have an obsession, and maybe it's not an obsession, maybe it's a morbid curiosity with death and suicide. I know that my son went through a phase of telling me about various suicides that you could see online. I think there's a forest somewhere in Japan that's notorious for people committing suicide that the kids kind of follow. What is it about that that intrigues children so much and that almost gives it that cool factor, which is quite dangerous?
I think it's just about the concept that it's not the norm and that they're getting exposed to things that their parents probably wouldn't have seen. And that's why they'd be reluctant to deny any of those requests or not look at the links that get sent to them. You know, so they are curious, hence the TikTok challenges, the blackout challenge.
I see this on TikTok a lot. There was this challenge on TikTok called the blackout challenge. And what the blackout challenge was basically you would choke yourself and This led to like a lot of people just like getting injured. I have come across a few videos of these people doing this blackout challenge. And luckily for me, I had already heard the dangers of this blackout challenge. So immediately I was like, no, I don't want to be part of this. So I just like scrolled.
But fortunately, she realized at the time that this was something that was really dangerous. And she actually clicked on "Don't show me this type of content," which for a teenager, or I think this girl was actually 11 years old, 12 years old, for a tween to do that, you must know that there's something that says, I actually don't want to go there. The flip side is the one boy who had his best friend committing suicide on Live Link.
I've seen someone die on Discord live in front of my eyes. Yeah. My best friend committed suicide in front of my eyes. That's probably number one. That was rough. I was 13 at the time, so that was hard.
That must have been the most horrific experience anyone can ever go through. And at an age of 13 or 14 years old.
Wow. How do you ever recover from seeing something like that as a child?
Exactly. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
There's been a lot. A bad combination, just for any parents out there, is your child being into My Little Pony and being allowed to be on the internet. Because I was into My Little Pony and people destroy My Little Pony. There was this one animation that I watched when I was excessively young. That was made by someone who's extremely good at animating. So it looked like the My Little Pony animation. Like it looked like an actual episode of My Little Pony. And it was just this horrible gore fest of like, you saw guts and blood and just horrible, disgusting things. And yeah, it really, really shaped me. I was like 7 or 8.
There are these websites called, and I'm talking about YouTube specifically here. If I go to YouTube and I click on a video, then it can sometimes open, that link is sometimes a disguise, and it opens a link to a video on sites like LiveLeak, which is basically just YouTube, but completely uncensored. And you see like the most insane stuff. I saw like a public torturing and beheading once. When I was very young, and I say very young, like probably 14. So it's pretty young, but it's not like I was 9 or something.
Someone once sent me the supposedly real footage of like people getting tortured in prisons across the world. And it wasn't, I think It was a TikTok video that someone sent me once. That was really scary.
I saw this video on, I can't remember where it was. Actually, I didn't see it anywhere online. I got it sent to me on WhatsApp. It was sent into a group. And so there was this guy that was holding an axe. And so he was just inspecting the axe. It was a guy sitting down busy on his phone. And so they were in a shop somewhere. The guy was holding an axe and he was looking at the axe and just inspecting it, looking around and such. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he just picks up the axe and just slams it into the guy's head, which is disturbing. The guy that was on the seat next to him, I don't think that the guy was anything related to him, but it was rough. It's not the most disturbing thing I've seen, but like that is definitely in the top five.
There's this internet series that I'm really into now, which I can be because, you know, I'm older now, I'm more mature, but it's called Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. And at first, it came out like 6 years ago and I watched it a bit after it came out. So I was like 9 or so. And yeah, they show some extremely, extremely disturbing stuff, like realistic hearts and people being cut open and eaten. Like out of cans. It's honestly terrifying. And I literally did have nightmares about a few of the characters from the first season. So if anyone wants to watch it, you should wait until you are old enough to watch it. Do not watch it at 9 because you will be horrified.
Discord is rough when you first join because you don't know that you should set it so that only your friends can message you, which I fortunately have now. So random people from servers you join will message you with invite links. And I got an invite to a server, which I didn't join, but just the picture of it was like literal child pornography.
Oh, now I'm a sensitive viewer. I can't watch anything on TV that's restricted more than 16. Mm-hmm. And I go and read every single review because violence and gore for me is something that upsets me.
Me too.
But what bugs me is the desensitization of our children towards violence. Mm.
I was like 7 or 8. And yeah, by the time I was 9 and 10, I was pretty much desensitized to gore. I still am today. But like the first time I watched it, I was horrified, honestly horrified.
Violence is not something that bothers me because it's just not something that bothers me. I've watched many action and just really violent movies with my father. So it's not something that bothers me, but if it was someone else, I know that one of my friends, when they were younger, they were sent a video of someone hanging people and cutting their heads off, which that would make anyone unsettled. And they were only about 11 at the time. So it was for them quite scary. And for them to be able to tell me about it, they said it was quite hard. Because they could still picture it, but I can understand why other people would be upset about this sort of stuff.
Wow, that tells you something right there.
It tells you something right there. And it tells you something about how we become accustomed to violence being the norm. And I'm not talking about just violence. I'm talking about cruelty. No, we're in a civilization where cruelty is rising and rising. Cruelty against kids, cruelty against animals. People are becoming desensitized to the levels of cruelty because it's literally everywhere where they interact.
Yeah, sure. And what does it do to children? What have they told you they feel when they see upsetting content like this?
So a lot of them told me that it kept them up at night. It gave them nightmares for a couple of nights. The one guy said, you know, he couldn't sleep with the light off. And that's 13, 14 years old. He couldn't sleep with the light off for ages after he's seen some of the content. What was also interesting is a lot of the children would talk about in the beginning of the interviews, they'd tell me that they have these open relationships with their parents and they can tell them everything. But in the end, when I asked them, if you look at the upsetting content you've seen, have you discussed that with your parents? There was not a single child that said yes. There wasn't a single child. And that makes me think about why are kids not talking to their parents about these things? They're lying awake at night. They're scared. They're in their rooms. They have nightmares. But they don't want to talk about it. Mm. I come to summarize that as they're scared of the repercussions. They're scared that if they tell their parents that this is what happened, their phones would be taken away, because obviously that's where they've seen it and that's what will get blamed.
Yeah.
Rather than the actual issue being addressed about what they've seen, how they felt, and how do we deal with this as parents and children going forward.
How do the children end up seeing this content? Is it always shared by a friend, or are there other ways that they end up being exposed to upsetting content like this?
It's not always by a friend. You sometimes get unsolicited texts from people on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And a lot of the children told me that on Discord, they get these unsolicited direct messages that just comes in and they don't know who it's from and they click on the link and that's what it is. So it's definitely not always by friends. It is content that gets sent to them, but it's also content that they stumble across. Mm. Remember the boy we talked about who clicked on a link for a server in Discord that took him to the child pornography?
Yeah.
The other boy who clicked on a link that took him to a server that was the anorexia support group.
There was a time where I joined this server that I didn't know what it was, but apparently it was like, it was really gross. It was like an anorexia support server. So it was horrible. I quit as soon as I like read the description. But yeah, I went to one of the channels before I quit and all these people were sending pictures of their like quote unquote progress of them just like losing a ton of weight and becoming skeletons. It was terrible. And that was a thing you were supposed to do before you could actually do anything on the server. It's for anorexic people to get worse.
So it's everywhere. If you think about the algorithms that we have, all your apps go, whenever you go accept cookies, yes or no, whenever you go yes, it means you are being tracked. Your activity is being tracked and your activity is being tracked across websites and across platforms.
Mm.
And that people don't always realize. So when you open a link like that and it takes you to a YouTube clip, you're teaching the algorithm that that's something that you're interested in. So in your feed, there may be more and more and more of that content popping up. Hence the case of the girl who tried to commit suicide. She wasn't successful and eventually they had to switch off the machines. Remember, we talked about that. She was 14 years old and it was all the algorithm, and it was the algorithm on the likes of Pinterest that got taught that this was what she was interested in, and hence I have to show her that. Because artificial intelligence can't think. Artificial intelligence is a machine being taught by your behavior as a person. So it's being taught that you looking at a specific link, that must mean you're interested in that content, and hence it feeds you more and more and more of that information.
Mm. What is the best way, in your opinion, to protect children from seeing harmful content? Is it back to what we've discussed so often in this series, the parental controls?
It's definitely, it's parental controls and open communication and conversation.
They've helped me stay safe through talking to me. But I guess in terms of actually literally shielding me from this type of thing, not really. I mean, I've always had complete free reign over the internet. And in fact, so does my 10-year-old brother. And I really wish that he didn't, because it's sort of messed him up in a way. I mean, he's 10 years old and he can't go into a dark room by himself because of all the horror stuff that he's watched. And I feel quite bad for him.
So there was a time that my parents said to me, okay, you guys can't use Discord. You're just talking to random people online. The reason I stopped using Discord was because my parents told me, okay, you can't do this anymore. Yeah, I would definitely say that was a good call, because I was 11 at the time. If I saw the stuff that like the decapitations and all the terrible, terrible things that people go and post on Discord now, when I was that age, I would have been traumatized.
I want to urge all parents to, after you've listened to this, to go to your child and ask them that simple question. Ask them, what is the worst thing you've seen online? And whether it was a friend who sent you that, whether you saw it on TikTok, but do it in a non-judgmental way. I will promise you, you'll be shocked, but have the conversation about how did it make you feel?
Mm.
Is it something that you've stumbled across maybe again? Have the conversation about if you come across something like this on the likes of TikTok or Instagram, and you click on those little three little dots on the top right-hand side, you can say, show me less of this. So have those conversations with them. Teach them to, whenever someone sends you a link, unless you know who the link is from, and unless you have an idea of what's inside there, don't open it. Mm. Don't open it. Even if you show it to someone else first, like a parent or a teacher or someone like that, that you trust, but don't open and just watch that.
I think before we end off this episode and the series, we should perhaps give parents some tools that they can use if they find themselves in any of these situations. You did refer in the last episode to the commonsense.org website, which you said was a really good one. Well, when it comes to gaming, that was in the gaming episode. Are there other sites that you use that you can refer parents to or other guides you can give them?
When it comes to things like upsetting content, when it comes to violence and gore, when it comes to sexual content, because upsetting content is not always violence, yeah. Right? It's also about other things. The Common Sense Media doesn't only cover gaming. It covers every single app you can think of. It covers games. It covers websites. It even covers series and movies that you watch.
Oh, wow.
It really is almost that one-stop shop. So I use a combination of that. And then whenever it comes to movies and series, I use IMDb that just will actually summarize. It's got a parental guide on every movie. And I think that is very important. We mentioned it before, the Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared.
Yes.
Where if you as a parent had to open that up on YouTube, you would look at it and you'd think, oh, this looks quite cool because it looks like comic type of characters. But that's those type of things that one really has to first have a look at yourself. You can't assume just because it looks like a comic character that it is that. So I do think read up, follow people like Common Sense Media. They've got a fantastic newsletter. And then FYI Play It Safe as well. From a monitoring perspective, that is one thing that we definitely try to pick up. So if there is something that your child stumble across, that you'll be notified of that so that you can open up the conversation. Because I think so many times, and the reason I'm saying to parents, go ask your child what's the worst thing they've seen online, is children want to share that. They want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But they're scared of opening the conversation. So if you open the conversation, they'll just talk.
You've mentioned a few times throughout the course of the series that you've been approached by this mom or that dad that's been struggling with this and that, and you've been able to help them navigate their way through the problem. So I think it's important for you to just perhaps share your contact details for other parents that might need to approach you about a problem that they're struggling with.
Anytime. I'm available. You're welcome to send me a WhatsApp. My mobile number is 082-821-3641 or rochelle@fyiplayitsafe.com. And that's rachelle at fyiplayitsafe.com.
And that brings season one of Sip the Tea to an end. Thanks very much, Rochelle.
And that wraps up this episode of Sip the Tea. We want to extend our heartfelt gratitude to everyone who made this possible. Big thank you to my interviewer and fellow mom, Amy McIver. Greg Cocoveo said branded podcasts without you would not have happened. And a special shout out to the real stars of the show, the brave children who shared their experiences so openly with me. Please stay connected. You can reach me, Rochelle@fyiplayitsafe.com. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Our handles are @fyiplayitsafe for more insights and conversations.